Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you love us enough that you want a relationship with us. And Father, an important part of that is our communication with you. Father, help us grow in that and grow closer to you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Y'all know I love a good analogy or a good illustration. And I got a big one today in terms of prayer is, and I love what it said on that bumper, prayer is not a religious transaction. It is a relationship. And what God wants to know, even though he already knows, is he wants to know what you feel. And he wants to talk to you. And so in illustrating that for us this morning and how we grow in our prayer, I asked Jody to help me today. Jody and I have been prayer partners, I was thinking about this, almost 25 years. He's older than I am. And you know, I've heard this my whole life, and it is incredibly true that if you have a few friends, you are incredibly blessed. True friends, like what was illustrated in that song, and we are true friends. I can call him on a moment's notice and say, "Hey, I need you to pray for this with me." And there's something powerful about that. We have spent thousands of hours praying together, probably. And what God wants for us is that same kind of friendship and relationship where there's nothing formal about your prayer that needs to be formal. It's as if I picked up the phone and I said, "Jody, I got a problem." And that's where God is. And so as we work our way through what God wants prayer to be for us, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start there. And it's one of the things that I love about God, in that God created humor. And if you saw me with my mask on last week, you know I love humor. And in this passage of Scripture, I know that God has an incredible sense of humor. Because if you look at Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 7, it says, "When you pray, don't babble." Don't babble. Can you imagine all the prayer that God has to listen to? And some of them he's going. And he's listening, but he wants you to know, stop going blah, 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 blah. What does he mean by that? Don't babble.
Well, he pretty much, when he writes something, he means what he says.
Yeah.
And it's pretty plain that he's not impressed by a lot of babbling and a lot of words. I mean, when I can say, "Go to the store," or I can say, "Get your keys and your purse and then make your way to the garage and go through the garage and then get in the car and make your way out of the car down the street and then turn left and right and go straight and then you'll find yourself at Kroger and then go inside the Kroger and et cetera, et cetera." You see what I'm saying? God wants us to be direct and simple and honest. And those are keys, simple, direct, and honest.
Yeah, one of the things I think that is a misnomer for us, and I don't know how we get to this place, is this idea that we have to impress God with our prayer. He knows your every thought. There's no way you can fool him and impress him. He knows who you are. If you've thought it, God already knows. And, you know, one of the things that I've told people in the past is if you want to advance your prayer life, if you want to get it to the place where it's a relationship with you, where you're just talking, the next time you're praying, think of how many times you say God's name while you're praying. Because If I were talking to Jody, I wouldn't say, I just want to tell you today, Jody, that I love you, Jody. And Jody, I just can't thank you enough, Jody, for who you are. And y'all are going to crack up the next time you're praying. I guarantee you, you're going to catch yourself. You're going to go, that's me. You wouldn't talk to a friend like that. And God wants you to be as close to Him as He is to you. And our way of doing that is the communication of prayer. So let's keep going here. Do not babble on and on like the Gentiles do. All the Gentiles doing are trying to impress people. You know, when the phone rings, you're having a conversation with somebody, and the phone rings, and you turn on your telephone voice. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Your telephone voice. God's not interested in your telephone voice in your prayers. Okay? Be yourself. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again and again and again and again. Do not be like them, for the Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. And then He goes into what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to take this apart a little bit. And I have for you in the back, if you want them, a little pamphlet that I found in my office by accident this morning. But it takes a look at the Lord's Prayer and what God wants us to get out of this. Because when you read this, it sounds kind of formal, but it's not for Jesus Day. And it said, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. And I want to stop right there because he starts with our Father, which signifies what? A relationship. And what kind of relationship does God want with us?
Well, just like he describes, he wants the relationship of a father and a child. And I like to think of it this way, and I've used this illustration before. When I pray, I think of myself entering the throne room of the King, but not going in bowed and crawling like a slave, but like a little kid. Imagine when the door opens and the little kid runs in and he's running with excitement. And I imagine myself jumping up in the lap of my Father. I revere Him and honor Him and am respectful of Him. But at the same time, I can jump in His lap and He'll throw His arms around me and He'll say, Child, what's on your heart today? Now, I know intellectually that He already knows. But imagine crawling up in the lap of a loving, perfect Father who puts His arms around you and says, What's on your heart today? Why does he say that? Because he really wants you to express yourself and communicate. And that's how I see it, as a child-father real thing.
You know what brings that home to me? My grandfather was the mayor of my hometown most of my life. And his office was a place of prestige, and there was a lot of business, and people went in with a certain amount of honor and reverence when they went in there. And I went in like I belonged. You understand? I didn't go in with any reverence or honor at this man who was the mayor. I went in with the mindset that this is my grandfather. And that's the way God wants you to approach him. And he goes on, he says, May your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a certain amount of praise in that. And God wants us to come with Him with praise for Him. Not for our benefit. I mean, not for His benefit. He wants to hear our praise. But as we praise Him, we are changed. And what changes in us?
Well, there's the important component of this is... When you say your kingdom come, to a large degree, much of the kingdom has come, Jesus Christ. And we need to reflect on that. And I think the reason Jesus opens it this way, hallowed be your name, I respect and honor you, but also I believe in what you're doing. I believe wholeheartedly that you've got this covered. And it's okay to reflect on all the great things God has done in my life. I think sometimes I want to tell Dad, thank you for teaching me how to throw a baseball. Thank you, Father, for teaching me how to drive. Thank you, Father, for protecting me when I was in harm's way. Thank you, Father, for all you have done. And this part of the passage, I think, speaks to me in that your will on earth and heaven are not dissimilar in spiritual ways. They're dissimilar because we're human and sinful. But God wants for us the same thing here that he wants to offer us in heaven. And that's a relationship and peace and calm. And we do that by recognizing what he's already done, I think.
And that is irregardless of our circumstance. Regardless of what you're going through, you can have peace and comfort, and he wants to give us that.
Let me give you an example. And many of you know about the COVID journey that Trish and I went through, and most of you have had COVID. Well, I was COVID sick almost to death. And while people say, well, that was horrible, and it was horrible for Trisha and horrible for me, but there's not a day goes by that I don't say, Lord, thank you for giving me that experience. It was awful, and I don't want to repeat it, but thank you for what you did in me, through Trisha, through that circumstance. As horrible as it was, I'm able to find a lot of things to be grateful for in that experience.
And a lot of doors opened in ways that you would not have known or been able to minister to other people. You know, I think about what's going on in the Ukraine, and we watch TV and how terrible it is, and we want to do something, and we don't understand why God would let this happen. And then you bring that onto a personal level and a much smaller level. You think, why didn't I get this job, or why didn't I get this house, or why did this happen, or why didn't that happen, or why did I get cancer, or this kind of stuff. And when it boils down to what God is wanting for us is to trust him. And do you trust him enough in the horrible things to know that he will work them all for good? And that's what he's asking us. Because there are going to be times when you don't know what to pray for. I mean, really, not only in your personal life, but in world events, what do you pray? I don't know. God knows. God knows Scripture tells us that when we don't know, he'll pray for us.
Romans 8:26 speaks exactly to that. That when we don't know exactly how to pray or what to pray, that God's Holy Spirit is interceding with us and lifting up. It uses the word groanings. And that means the Holy Spirit is praying in a way that's so strong that it makes him groan. And that's important to know I'm not in this prayer alone.
I equate that to, y'all know my wife's a nurse, and certain situations come up and she starts talking all these medical terms that are way over my head, way over. There are certain things that goes on with God that are so far over our head we cannot begin to comprehend with this feeble human mind and body that we have. And what he's saying is, trust me. Trust me. And he goes on, he says, give us today the food we need. That cries out for dependence. He wants us utterly dependent on him. Now, you've been to a number of places in the world where I bet every one of us right now have enough food in our house to feed us for at least today, if not tomorrow, if not for a week. So this passage is hard for us to grasp, but you've been to places where
most of the places in the world, most of the places in the world, you would be amazed at how much of the world lives day to day. They don't have a pantry. Many places don't have refrigeration, even today. And every day they get up in the morning and go to the market, and they hope they have enough money and that what they need is in the market. So in human terms, they're living hand to mouth. And God tells us, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you're his child, he is going to feed you. And But we need to recognize that all these things come from Him. And, of course, we have to plan. We have to do the mechanical things. But God is in charge of our provision. And when we pray like Jesus prayed, we're giving recognition to that fact and acknowledging it.
Yeah. Because everything you have, He's given you. Everything. Don't forget that. That's a reason to go back up in the...
Wait. I'm not sure I agree with that, Chet.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure kale was not on his list of, you know... Jerry, am I right? Kale is not on that list. So, anyway.
Put it in a
smoothie. Okay.
God has blessed us to the point where... one of the things that I have really tried to do in the last 4 or 5 years is when I find myself in the woe is me or about to complain about something, is to find something to praise Him about. And you don't have to look far. You don't have to look far. Generally, the first place I go is, Lord, I thank You that I am not laying on my back in a bed unable to move like so many people in the world. That'll change your mindset. When you start thinking about your blessings and the fact that you have enough food today to eat, and you give Him praise and remember that it came from Him. And look, and forgive us our sins. He is so incredibly gracious that He will forgive you if you ask Him. That's something we don't even do sometimes.
We're not prone to do that right off the bat.
No.
We've got to figure it out and dwell on it and get mad about it and figure out how we're going to get even with it. Make sure we make our point. You ever been in that situation? Oh, I'm not going to get even, but I want to make my point.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit short of complete forgiveness, I think, sometimes.
And forgive them as we have forgiven them who sinned against us. This is a reminder, and I think we forget about this a lot. God said, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's a separation between Me and you. And you've got to get rid of that, because you don't have any right to hold any unforgiveness. We don't have the ability. And He goes on and He says, and do not lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. It is the reminder that God will protect us no matter what. No matter what, God is going to protect you. For the people that you know right now in the Ukraine, you know God's going to protect them. And for us, no matter what you're going through, whether it's cancer or whatever, God's going to protect you. But what does that mean, Joey? Because it doesn't mean He's going to heal us. It doesn't mean they're not going to have struggles in the Ukraine.
For those who cry out to God, it's a promise, a fulfilled promise, that He's going to take us to heaven. There's no doubt about that. At the same time, God wants us to know that this simple phrase, His will be done, which is hard for us to sometimes swallow, because sometimes I'm smarter than He is, and I know have more information than He is, and I know things that He doesn't know, at least I think. And the fact is, He knows it all, and when I say that I trust You with the outcome, I can also say I trust You with the outcome, even if in human terms it doesn't seem like a good outcome. If I had died from COVID, as horrible as that sounds in human terms, and hopefully people would have grieved for me, you know, for a few minutes. But as horrible as that would have been, it would have been used by God in His purview to wrap things up for me and others in His perfect way. And I trust that. That's the only way we can get along.
And we all have to trust that. So as we look at God's example and what we want to do is transform our prayer life to grow it even further. No matter where it's at, grow it further. I think about 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray continuously. Pray continuously. Have you ever gotten through your day toward the end of it and you think, I didn't even think about God today? What does pray continuously mean to you?
Well, it doesn't mean walking around like this and, you know, with your head down. It means acknowledging everything in your life as a prayer need and an opportunity. I mean, how many times have you sat at a red light waiting for the light to change and your mind's drifting and wondering about what you've got to do, and you suddenly are flooded with this thought, if you're a Christian, from the Holy Spirit, that you forgot to pray about Sister Sue, who's having surgery today. The idea of continually praying is being continually saying, Lord, what's on our mind today? What do we need to share today, even in this minute? Now, does it mean that just however many seconds, 84,000 seconds in a day or something, praying every second? That's literally what it means. But God knows that we're human and we've got things that we have to do where our focus has to be elsewhere. But our default setting, everybody knows what a default setting is? Your default setting is to be praying. You know, when I don't have something else on my mind, I should be praying. If that something else is not worthy, I need to dismiss that and pray. So I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of the...
To me, and one of the things about it is, as you move and progress your prayer life, you need to move past, and if you're still at this place, it'll be encouraging for you to move past, because we're all going to fall back to this. It's what I call the Santa Claus prayer. You know what I mean? You start praying and you tell God all the things you want. I want this, and can I have that? And can you give me this? And can you take care of that? And it sounds like if your prayer doesn't sound much different than if you were sitting on Santa Claus's lap, let me encourage you that what God wants also in our prayers and will change us and transform us is us moving away from focusing just on us. Because I can never find out God's will if the only thing I'm worried about is me. Does that make sense? Now, Jody, I used this illustration last week. An old transistor radio, and these... they don't even have all the numbers on it. You just kind of got to get in the area and start kind of inching around and hope you get on the station you want. When you can't hear God and you read His Word and it looks like this, how do you keep praying?
Well, I don't have a simple answer for that except just to keep praying. Because when I first became a Christian, I was a grown man in my 30s, and the pastor who was mentoring me, I was saying, how do I make sense of this? You know, how do I pray and make sense of this? And he said a couple of things, an old cliche. He said, the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. Does that make sense? And it's not only it goes for God's Word, but it goes for prayer too, and it's a moment in time thing. Should we be praying about every 10,000 things? Sure, there's 10,000 things to pray for. But what do I need to be praying for right now? I need to be praying about the main things. And the main thing is first my relationship with Him. The second thing is my relationship with others. And inside of those are a lot of components. I know my relationship with Him includes my sin, my unfaithfulness, my hesitation, my fear. But that's number one. Then number two would be the other relationships. How do I forgive a brother or a sister for doing this or that? How do I minister to them? How do I pray for them? And so if I keep those two axes in mind, my relationship with God, my relationship with other people, that helps me to identify the main things. Like I pray for Misty this morning as soon as I hear about her being sick. Now, am I praying for how her work goes next week? No, I'm not praying about that today. Prayer has a time component. Sometimes we don't think about that. That God, today, not next week, not tomorrow, but today, in this moment, draw me closer to you. Give me some clarity about this obstacle. Give me some ideas about how to deal with this relationship in this moment, Lord. We don't need to pray about what we're going to get for Christmas in December.
And let me close with this thought about prayer. Because, yeah, God knows everything about you. He knows every thought you've ever had. But He still wants you to pray. And the reason He wants you to pray is because He loves you enough that He wants a relationship with you. He wants a friendship with you. He wants a daily connection. And that's as much for our benefit as anything. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for giving us prayer as a vehicle to develop our relationship with You. Father, enhance our prayers, grow our prayers, grow us, that we may be closer to You than we've ever been. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.